Hello, and welcome to Real Career Talk, a monthly podcast series where we come together to have real career-based conversations with internal AT&T and external leaders and experts in a variety of fields who will share their career stories and give some real holistic career advice for us to find inspiration and motivation to navigate our careers with vigor. I am your host, Andrea Lim. And for this episode, we are going to talk about what moves you. And it actually has a double meaning because we're going to dive deep into how to discover your innate talents. And these are things that actually will move you in unexpected and most magnificent ways. My guest today is someone who I had the pleasure of actually hearing speak and then meeting through the Project Management Network. And I found him incredibly fascinating and interesting, who could definitely speak very intelligently on this subject of how to discover your innate talents. And with me, pronounce his name phonetically, Kene Eloi Inyusi. And I hope that I said that correctly. And if not, he will correct me. Let me just introduce you to him really quickly. This is someone who loves to guide his clients to help them actually discover their purpose and find their career sweet spot. He is an author who has actually written several books on this very topic. He really helps people understand, and he truly believes in this idea of you are how you are for why you are. And we're going to dive deeper into that in just a moment. But as I mentioned, he wrote a few books, one of which was called Finding Your Sweet Spot, DNA of Talent, and his most recent one, Put Your Purpose to Work. I could not think of a better guest who has helped thousands of people figure out what their purpose is and live and do the work that is most fulfilling than my guest today. He has clients from several different workforce industries. And he has also not been someone who is like, he has quite a variety background himself, which is what gives him the ability to speak with this so intelligently. Through his company, Talent Revolution, which we'll talk about as well, he has developed workshops and resources to help people identify their career sweet spot and their natural abilities. He lives in Georgia with his wife, Lucy. And Kene, I'm so excited that you're here with me today. Thank you so much for spending this time with me.
Thanks for having me, Andrea. I'm looking forward to this conversation. And yes, the pronunciation was close enough, and you get a B+. You get a B+.
I'll take it. I will take it. Speaking of names, because I always like starting my conversations off just to get us sort of in that flow mode. But does your name have any meaning? And if so, what?
Oh, yeah. I am Nigerian, and every Nigerian name has a meaning. So Kene is short for Kenechukwu, which means thank God. And then Eloi Inyusi means, may my enemies not peeking on me, or may my enemies not spy me. I think I had paranoid ancestors. I don't know.
That's hilarious. Well, speaking of ancestors and family, do you have a nickname or something only a few people actually call you?
That will not be shared here. That is totally not the purpose of this.
I totally get it. I love asking people that question because few share with me sort of their nickname. And there are those who actually who do, but totally get it. So here is another question, softball, that you probably be able to answer. Tell me something that people would not know about you if they Google you, because you're Googleable. But I would like you to share something that we won't find if we Google you.
Oh, that's an easy one. If you do a Google search on me, you would not find that I've had and survived 3 brain surgeries.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic. And congratulations.
Thank you.
That is absolutely marvelous. And again, I stay in awe just from having met you the first time, and you've just raised that bar even more. So continued better health without
you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, all right, we're going to jump into our conversation about what moves you. And specifically, as I mentioned, since you do have the authority on talking about, you know, your innate talents, I would love for you to share, first and foremost, how did you figure out your talent? Like, what was the most significant or pivotal moment that gave you your aha in determining what your talent is?
The catalyst for the search was when I wanted to go into full-time speaking in, I think it was 2006, 2007. And we've had, my wife and I had a web and graphic design company, which she still runs, but I'm not a designer. And so I was getting bored with just being in the business. And so she really encouraged me to figure out what I want to do. And, you know, I have a background in ministry. I've been in youth pastor in Nigeria for 3 years. I was a missionary in Zambia for another 3 years. So I'd been in ministry and I really enjoyed the speaking and developing of people. And so when she gave me that kick in the behind, she was, you know, I was like, well, if I could do anything, I'd really love to get back to speaking and teaching and developing people, but I did not want to do it in the context of ministry. And so it required me now thinking about, well, what would I talk about? You know, what was it that I had? I didn't want to talk about leadership because there were so many leadership speakers and teachers. I didn't want to talk about communication because, you know, there were so many people talking about that. And I just started thinking about, well, what comes naturally to me? What is it that I really, what have I enjoyed doing? And I realized through my past, as I did some introspection and reflection, through my time, my years in ministry, what I loved the most was talking about helping people find their purpose. And so that was what started the journey of, okay, this is what I want to talk about. But to talk about purpose, you need to figure out, well, what gives you that purpose? What are the gifts? And so in wanting to write the speech, I did some soul searching and realized that, okay, this is what I love. And I love this because this is what comes naturally to me. And thinking back to when I was a kid, a lot of things I do now are things I did as a kid. I'd always been called the very talkative child that could, you know, talk to anyone, especially I was, you know, growing up, I was very comfortable talking to adults.
Yeah.
And so communication, I know, is a gift. Developing, relating with people, connecting with people at a deep level is a gift. And so there are things that I realized as I was introspecting and asking questions of people who've known me since I was a kid. A lot of them were like, yeah, you've always done this. People have a way of just bearing their soul to you. I'm like, wow, okay. You know, and so that helped me identify my talents.
Yes. Fantastic. Well, it's a huge accomplishment actually uncovering that and then leaning into your purpose, because I think a lot of people have a variety of interests and they could sometimes confuse the difference between what you're naturally good at versus your interests or your skills. So talk to me a little bit about that. In your opinion, what is the difference between a skill set and your innate talent?
Plain and simple, your talents are things you are born with. Your skills are things you learn. You're not born with them. You learn them. What may be a skill for one person may be a talent for one. What may be a talent for one may be a skill for another. And so that's in the purest definition, skills are learned from the outside in, abilities, talents, gifts operate from the inside out.
Yeah. And talent versus interest, because I could be interested in a number of things, but I may not have the innate talent. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, are there a few tips or strategies that you would share so that anyone listening to this doesn't confuse the difference between something that they're really interested in versus the talent to actually manifest it and then lean into it and it becomes something that is a career and fulfilling?
In the context of a career, if you are interested in something, but you don't have the talent for it, you will not be good at it. I'm sorry. It's just
simple.
it's as simple as that. If you might develop it as a skill. And so let me put a caveat. You might develop an interest as a skill that you want to work with. If you do that, make sure it is supporting a strength. Mm-hmm. If it's working in isolation and you're spending all your time, let's say you are interested in data analytics. It's an interest, but you don't have the innate abilities for data or numbers or visual accuracy. What might take you 2 hours because you have the interest may take somebody who's got the innate abilities for that thing 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Right.
So you can do it and say, okay, yeah, you're enjoying it. But I often doubt when people tell me they are enjoying those things in isolation and working in that interest. I can't claim to know what's inside people's minds, but for the most part, it becomes unfulfilling.
Yes. And speaking of something that could be unfulfilling, you shared with me, and it was honestly a little bit of a mind shift for me, because I shared that I thought that talents is something that can evolve over time. And you corrected me, and you was like, oh, no, talents don't evolve over time. So let's talk a little bit about why people could get confused into thinking that they have talent that will shift as you age or go through life and have different careers, that they in fact don't.
What you're born with is what you're born with. It's if you're black, you're black.
Right.
it's not going to change. If you want to bleach or dye, sorry, you're black. And so you are born pre-wired a certain way, and that neural pathway remains with you for life.
Yes.
Now, can you build on? Yes. That's simply called skill building. You know, going back to the skill conversation. So you can add skills which open you to bigger opportunities to use the underlying talent, but it does not mean that the talents are evolving. You're just expanding the scope or changing the context in which you're using those talents.
Right. What are some things that prevent people from actually discovering those innate talents? What is it that kind of interferes with that, in your opinion?
A number of things. One is, there's the obvious one is ignorance. Mm-hmm. And when I say ignorance, I don't mean it in a negative way. It's just that you don't know what you don't know, even though your natural ability is something that you do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, by the time they discover that certain things are talents, they typically say the same thing, but everybody does this. No. But it's so natural to you. It's like fish in water. A fish does not know it's in water until it's taken out of water and gasping for breath.
Yeah.
And so it becomes it's so natural, people don't really recognize certain things they do as talents. And then the other thing is when they recognize that, okay, this is a talent, They typically would compare themselves to other people who may have used skills to develop the talent. And they're like, well, I'm not like that person. Yeah, you're not like that person because there's still some more work to do, depending on where and how you want to use the talent. So those are the two key things. And then the other thing that for me is really painful, the other factor that discourages people or stops people from discovering their talents is society or the family environmental factors, family, society, peer pressure, where somebody wants to do something based on how they're wired, their gifts and abilities, and others are like, psh, who says you'll be good at that? There, look at you. You want to be a musician or you want to be a writer? Well, you're not John Grisham.
Well, yeah.
John Grisham did not. I don't think his first novel was a blockbuster.
Right.
So I encounter a lot of that in my coaching. I encounter a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you mentioned John Grisham, who I do enjoy his novels, and you have written 3 books. Give us some ideas of how you developed your talent and that led to you writing those 3 books, finding the career sweet spot and the DNA of talent. Give me a little idea of, one, how long did it take you, in between all 3 of those books? And then how different are they? Because they have a common thread, which is deeply, deeply related to what your talent is and when you figure that out. Mm-hmm. But talk to us a little bit about these 3 books, which I definitely would encourage everyone to go out and read.
I like to say, and I think I heard this quote from John Maxwell, and now that I've written 3 books, I can relate. He says he doesn't like to write. He likes to have written. He likes to have written. There are people who love to write. I don't love to write. So for me, writing is a necessity. It's not a love.
Yeah.
I write because I need to get my thoughts out there. That's why I write. The first book, Finding Your Sweet Spot, I was actually writing a speech. I was writing my keynotes, and 16 pages in, I'm like, okay, this is a long speech.
Yeah.
Yes, nobody is going to listen to a long speech. But in reading through that, what I'd written without even research, I was like, wow, I have enough here to flesh it out and turn it into a book. And so that was the trigger or the catalyst for that, what was meant to be a speech, a keynote, becoming a book. And I started writing that in 2010. It came out in 2012. After the book was written, I was on the road speaking and, going places, speaking on the topic. About a year into it, I figured because of the questions and what people, ask me about, I realized that I did not spend enough time, sort of elaborating on talent in that first book. So I was sort of giving an overview. And so DNA of Talent was born because I took the chapter on talent from the first book and expanded on it, really went deep. So it's like I said that when you and I talked, of the 3 books, it is the most technical.
Yeah.
And when I say technical, I'm not in terms of data and all that, but it's just, it really goes into what talent means and discovery, nurturing, and application. So how you work through the process. And the third book, put your, so 2012 was the first one. 2014, I believe, was the second one. 2014 or 2016. And then I started thinking about, I knew I had a third book to write. And started putting my thoughts together on purpose. I really wanted to define purpose, because with coaching on talent, coaching on career, the peg I really wanted to put in the ground was helping people understand their purpose, discover their purpose, and most importantly, work in their purpose. And so I knew again I had to write a book. And fortunately, well, I say that with the I don't, how do I, let me phrase this well. Well, let's just say COVID happened.
Yes.
So COVID happened. That, you know, that's my, that book is my COVID baby. That's my COVID baby, because now I had time to write. I had, that was my work. I sat down and I wrote. So that book was written in 2020 and published in 2021.
Gotcha. Okay. Can you share a success story of someone who you worked with who sort of went through the process and actually did all of the work? Because we'll talk about that momentarily, because it really does take an earnest amount of work and effort to not just understand what your talent is, but then start making it work for you. But share with us a success story of someone who you coached who maybe first didn't understand or couldn't identify what their talent was and how that led to their purpose. And what did they do after figuring all of that out?
I mean, one that comes to mind is someone who she had done, held different jobs, but now started a business. And after the business was started, I mean, there was the excitement of the business and getting everything started. I think a year or two into the business, she got bored, very bored. And, you know, and in going through, and this actually started as a casual conversation, and she realized that, okay, we need more in-depth conversation regarding this, my process. And as we spent more time going through the assessment, going through introspection, helping her uncover some of her gifts, she what we realized is that she loves creating processes, improving processes, managing processes. So for the business, what she loved was creating the business, creating the processes for the business. And once everything was in place working, she got bored. She was like, okay, so what next?
Right. Yeah. What do I do now?
I'm done creating all the processes. I don't like taking care of these clients. I'm like, that's not what I enjoy. It's like the processes. And so she shut the business down and has changed jobs. She went into the banking sector. And you know, it's been process improvement, and she's moved and really risen along those lines.
Yeah. Fantastic story, because it takes a lot of courage, I think, as well, to understand and identify once you've done the work and then take that leap and say, this is my talent and it will ultimately lead to my success and to my happiness. What role, if any, does, you know, sort of trial and error play into understanding and uncovering your talents? Because in your story, it sounds like she did a little bit of dabbling before really discovering it. Tell any of the listeners how to identify and not be afraid of trial and error. Because I think a lot of times we are afraid of failure. So we just stick to something that feels safe and comfortable.
Yeah. We're all drawn to certain things. If you're drawn to certain things, try it. So let me talk about two types of people. One, the person who has identified their gifts and abilities, and it's now, okay, I need to transition from what I'm doing and find a way to transition into a position, a role, or a job that taps into my abilities. Easier, but still, a lot of people are afraid because, yes, they're in this job that they don't necessarily like, but it's comfortable. You know, it's not, the shoe doesn't fit well, but hey, I've worn this shoe long enough and I'm okay. So you've got those people who just have to take this. There's no other way than to take the step, try it, and keep tweaking, because as long as you are moving along the lines of your natural abilities, you will find that fit. Those who don't know their talents and are sort of, you know, like you say, trial and error, it's just, okay, good luck. It's just a stroke of luck that, okay, you land on something. you enjoy, I've met people who enjoy what they do. Some don't realize that they really enjoy it because they're naturally wired for it. Mm-hmm. And some at some point realize that, man, okay, I think this is kind of what I was born to do. It's such a fit. I don't want to do anything else. I would rather be the person who goes into it intentionally.
Yeah.
Than the one who's just waiting on, let me try this, let me try that.
Right. Intention is key. I think it's also a way when you actually understand and put into practice, okay, I have figured out what I'd like to do. I'm going to maybe set out a path and a plan in order to get to the place and space where I am really using my talents. Could take some trial and error. Let me know if you are aware of what could be signs that indicate, hey, I have all these things in my head, but I'm having a really hard time with actually putting them into motion. Like what, if any, are there signals or signs that it's maybe time to get some professional coaching or sit down and work with someone who can help you sort of go through the process of being introspective? Talk with me a little bit about what might be some signs that you can look out for of, hey, reach out, get some professional help, or read, you know, a book like Your DNA Talent or Discovering Your Sweet Spot. So talk to me a little bit about things that people can use to help them identify when they need extra help.
In my world, I say as early as possible. I have colleagues who work with kids in like middle school because their parents, you know, have toiled jobs and don't necessarily like what they do, and they don't want their kids to make the same mistake. So for me, it's as early as possible. It's never too early. It's never too late. If you are in the workforce now and you know that you don't enjoy your job and you want to leave, or you've changed jobs multiple times and you still find you are, you know, that fulfillment is not there, you need help. Let's not beat around the bush. You then need to get the education of, and when I say education, I'm not saying go to school. Get a book. There's so many books out there that talk about career switching, career development. But it's not just, don't just find a book that tells you how to write a resume and go look for a good job. You need to figure out how you are wired.
Mm-hmm.
So start with assessments. There are many free assessments out there, or, you know, that where you'd make minimal investments. You've got Hogan, you have the DISC, you have the Myers-Briggs. There are a number of assessments there. The one I use, you can't really, it's called the Highlands Ability Battery, mm-hmm. but you can't, it's not something you can get online. You have to work through a consultant.
Yeah.
But there are assessments out there that you can use, and then reflect, talk to your parents. How were you as a kid? How you were between age 1 and 10 are indicators to how you are wired.
Yes, yes.
So how did you play? How did you interact with the environment? How did you interact with adults and people around you? Those are pointers. And so people just need to do the research. You are worth the time.
That's the phrase. That is a fantastic phrase. You are worth the time to understand your innate talent and ability, because it absolutely could lead to a fulfilling life, a fulfilling career, right? Mm-hmm. So we're coming up to the end. Tell me something that you know now that you didn't know in your younger self. Like, what would you say to yourself if you were younger about how to uncover your innate talents? Like, if you were talking to your younger self, what would you say? Kinay, you should know X. What would that be?
One, you should go find an assessment to help you understand how you're wired. And two, don't try to study medicine. Go study psychology.
Yes. If you lean into that pretty early on, you figure out maybe one of the two.
Oh yeah.
Not for you.
I'd be further ahead, but you know, everything happens for a reason, you know. So I would not change a thing. But I look back now, I have a bachelor's in botany. Yeah. Because I was going the medical route and, you know, wanting to go into medicine. But after my first year in college, I was like, hell no, I don't want to study medicine. but I didn't know what my options were because my childhood, it was all about medicine.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a doctor. But looking back now with the things I've been doing for years, the ideal thing back then would have been to study psychology and build. Mm-hmm. And everybody tells me it's not too late. I know, but I'm just not yet at that point in time. Like, man, going back to school again, I don't know.
To pull that trigger. No, I can completely relate. I thought that I wanted to be a judge, you know, until it came the time to actually focus and do that studying. And I had to quit. So yeah, I have a similar path in that regard of figuring out that's probably not going to fit on me, and something else better will, such as in this creative space and meeting people. This is what I get my energy off of. And to that, I cannot thank you enough for spending this time with us. Final question, since this is going to be shared, you know, at the end of the year, rolling into the new year, if you had to give just one solid piece of advice with regards to, you know, your innate talent, once you figure it out, what should you do next? What would be that, like, closing out the end of the year kind of advice going into 2024 you would share with guests and listeners?
If you figured out your talent and abilities, figure out where you want to use them. And make a plan to transition. It's just that easy. And when we say make a transition, we're not saying you don't have to leave your company. If you are in a large company, there are ample opportunities for you to switch roles. But sometimes it may involve you moving to another company. Don't be afraid. This is about, one, you being fulfilled, and two, you bring in immense value to the organization. I will tell you this. I don't care how many awards you've won at work. If you're not fulfilled, but people are giving you props for doing a fantastic job, it's not worth it. It's worth it for them. It's not worth it for you. Your health, your mental state, your peace of mind is so worth you figuring out your career sweet spot.
Yes. Could not agree with you more. And with that, I would like to thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
It's been such a fantastic conversation. I could speak to you for hours on end.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank you also for speaking with me today. And I will catch all of you at the next Real Career Talk. Stay powerful.